I always check on them what the teaching is downstairs. I have two little spies down there, you know? What did you learn today? And they think I'm testing them, but I'm really testing Adam and Aaron is what I'm really testing, you know? Let's turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of John, and we're going to look at really two passages, continuing our series, answering questions. Where do we look for the answers? God's Word has the answers. We look in the book, and so this was a question that was asked, written down and asked, and we'll keep, like I said, those anonymous who asked this question, but the question was this: should Christians judge? And there was more to one. I actually got a couple on this topic, and there was more to one of them. One of them said this, and the writer said, "I am always being told that I can't judge." And people are quoting scripture saying I shouldn't judge them. And that here's the real big word: judgmental. You're being so judgmental. People can be mental, but judgmental. What do they mean when they say that? Can a Christian, should a Christian judge? And so turn with me. First of all, it's on the front of your bulletin there in John chapter 7. We're going to read that verse. And but if you would keep your finger there, because we're gonna turn back to it in a little while. I have 5 points today about judging and what the scriptures say about judging. Answer that question. Should Christians judge? Before we even read this, I want you, don't say it out loud. I want you, in your mind, what's your answer? Is it yes or no? I want you to think about it. If it's yes or no, I want to find out if at the end of the sermon, if you stuck with that answer. All right. So is it yes or no? Think about it. All right. You got this. This is on the honesty system. All right. Should Christians judge? Yes or no? And then we'll get back to it. We'll get back to that at the end of the sermon. So let's read and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 7. And I'm going to read first, before you read John chapter 7, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. And then we'll read John chapter 7 together. Okay? So Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1 says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And then now let's read John chapter 7, and our text there from the front of the bulletin, and verse number 24. Read it together with me. "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Let's pray together this morning. Lord, again, we thank you that we can come to you. And Lord, we do not take lightly the requests we make for your help in these times. Lord, we desire to meditate on your word and in some ways to memorize it and to live by it and not just have it in our head, Lord, but to apply it. And I pray that because of what we learn here this morning, we would be those that apply the principles of your word. Lord, help us, please. As in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In my studies for this message, one of the commentators said this when referring to the question of should Christians judge. He said, "Jesus' command in Matthew chapter 7, I read it, to judge not others is probably the most widely quoted of all of Jesus' sayings." And so I want to do a little poll here this morning. How many of you have ever had someone say to you, "I thought you were a Christian. Why are you judging me? Didn't Jesus say, judge not"? Have you ever had that quoted to you? I have had it quoted to me. And so I think according to our commentator, I think he's right about that. It might be second only to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. I think that one is quoted more often by the wine bibbers and the drunkards of our country as well. So this verse here, what does Jesus say? And what did he mean to say? And do we really understand what he's saying? Should a Christian be judging? Many people, I believe, use this verse, and really what they're trying to do, they're trying to silence anyone who would be critical of them. They're interpreting what Jesus said as, you don't have the right to tell me what I'm doing is wrong. And that's really what they mean when they say, don't judge me. You're being judgmental. They're saying, you don't have the right to tell me what I'm doing is wrong. And you know what? If you take just those words that Jesus said there and kind of take them out of context and say, well, look at this one command, and it says two words, right? Judge not. All right, now, after the word not, there's a comma, not a period. Okay? And this is not an isolated thing that Jesus talks about. Is this the only place Jesus talks about how we are to judge and decisions we're supposed to make? As a matter of fact, one of the words that I like to use, because I feel like the words judge and judgmental are almost clouded by people's wrong ideas, I like to use the word discern. because a discerner looks at two things and says, there's something that is right and there's something that is wrong. They have discerned, or they have made a judgment call, and they've said something is right and something is wrong, but that's being discerning. And a matter of fact, Scripture also talks about that and speaks about how we are supposed to be a discerner of the spirits. We're supposed to be a discerner of the Word of God. We're supposed to be, a matter of fact, in Hebrews it talks about us, the end of chapter number 5 there, it talks about us being able to discern by measure of the amount of exercise we have. In other words, just like I would exercise my muscles and I would become strong, or I would exercise my body and I would become athletic, you can exercise your judgment. And by exercising, by using, by putting it to good use, you can be good at being a judge, good at being discerning between something that is right and something that is wrong. And so I will go ahead and throw this out there. I do not believe that when someone says the Scriptures teach not to judge, I do not believe that they are correct. We're going to look at 5 different things that Scripture talks about when it talks about judging and the way we are supposed to judge, that if you judge in any of these 5 ways, then you are judging improperly and you're judging with the wrong thing. As a matter of fact, let's take a first look at our text in John chapter 7. Our text in John chapter 7. This I will call superficial judgment. Superficial judgment. And Jesus says in John chapter 7, it's very, very clear in this one verse, what is he talking about? What kind of judgment would be wrong judgment? Judgment that is based on appearances. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And so, as a Christian, we are commanded to judge righteous judgment. We're commanded to discern righteously. We're commanded to have our senses exercised and put to use so that we can judge what is right and what is wrong. God commands us to do it here at the end of this verse. But he starts out with saying there's a type of discernment. There's a way that you could try to judge things. And when you do it that way, it would be wrong for you to be judging in that way. And that is superficial judgment. Judgment based on appearances. Passing judgment on someone solely based on their appearance is sinful. It's wrong. Now, there are things that someone cannot change about the way they look. Now, I think our country especially has fallen into a big trap about this, haven't we? The whole racism, judging someone not by the content of his character, as a very famous Baptist preacher said, right? Martin Luther King. Not Martin Luther King, we sang his hymn this morning. Martin Luther King Jr. from just a century ago. Right? He wrote, don't judge a man by the color of his skin, judge him by the content of his character. That's what Jesus is saying in John chapter 7 and verse number 24. Someone is meant to be judged by the things that they do. Matter of fact, when we talk about this kind of judgment and the judgment of appearances, we must understand our eyes can lie to us. A magician is very, very crafty. He can make things look one way, and then the devil does this. He makes things look really good. How many of you have watched, and maybe you shouldn't have, but you watched some Hollywood movie where the sinfulness in that movie was glorified and made to look very, very good? One of the things that I've found recently, there's an app out there that takes and cleans up anything that Hollywood puts out. It's called VidAngel. I think I've mentioned it before. I was talking with someone about it yesterday, and I was talking about how they have all these different filters, and one of the things that they filter out of movies is the use of illegal recreational drugs and alcohol. They filter it out of movies. You know why? Those things are in movies. Those things are put in movies. Why? Because they want us to think that there's nothing bad about them, that the consequences aren't. You know what a real drunkard looks like? You know what a real drunkard smells like? You know what a real drunkard can't do in their life and they're inhibited? You know what a real drunkard, someone's addicted to something, you know what they do? They don't look like Brad Pitt, okay? And they don't do the things that these movie stars do. There's a superficial judgment that the Scripture says is wrong. Superficial judgment can also be based on, I want to get real deep here for a little bit, can also be based on what we perceive to be the consequences of someone's actions. Don't ever get deceived into thinking you can judge based on the consequences of someone's actions. No, if we're going to judge and not judge superficially, we're going to judge on the actual decision that was made, not on the consequences. Do you remember the story where Jesus was asked, there was an accident that happened. A tower fell down and it fell on people and it killed them. And the question that was asked to Jesus was, who sinned? How evil were they? Who sinned? The question is also asked in the book of Acts when the blind man was healed. Who sinned that this man was blind? Was it his parents or was it him? People were looking at the consequences that people were suffering and they were saying, well, they were judging superficially and saying, because of this consequences, they must have made a bad decision. And when you, I guess it's introspectively or intrusively, deductively find judgment in that way, you're doing the wrong thing. Because you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes bad things happen to people making good decisions. All right, there are no good people. Okay? Have you ever heard it said that way? Bad things happen to good people. There are no good people. But sometimes bad things happen to people when they're making good decisions. And sometimes good things happen to people when they're making bad decisions. And superficial judgment is judging what's on the surface. Judging not the true character, not the decisions that someone has made, but judging the consequences of those decisions or judging just the way someone looks. Now, I have only one way to present myself. And I can, this lack of superficial judgment does not relinquish me of my responsibility to present myself well. I'm representing Christ. I'm his ambassador. And I should be neat. And I should be clean. And I should be presentable. And I should be appropriate and all the rest of it. Why? Because, and this is often used, the quote from Scripture is often used in the wrong way. It says, man looks on the outward appearance. Remember when Samuel was coming up and looking for a king? It says, man looks at the outward appearance and God looks at the heart. And people say, see that? God sees my heart. But that verse teaches two truths, not just one. It teaches that man can only see the outward appearance. You understand? The only thing that someone can see when they look at you is how you present yourself. And by the grace of God, Christians, we should present ourselves well. If God's made a change in our heart, it should make a difference in our lives. And the problem with Samuel wasn't that little David was disheveled. As a matter of fact, the Scripture tells us later, he was able to go right into the king's court. And he presented himself well. And he was respected by everyone around him. And he behaved himself wisely. How could he have done that? Because it was more than just a heart. What Samuel was looking at was his stature. He was young. Maybe he was the youngest in birth order. He was little. And the Bible says he might have had red hair. Okay? He was ruddy, the Bible says. So he might have been out in the sun so much that he had all of his freckles came out. All right? He had a real dark complexion in that way. He had his freckles come out. And he had red hair. Maybe my wife has red hair, and even Olivia has some strawberry blonde. You know what happens when you spend a lot of time outside in the sun? That hair gets changed into a different color. It becomes bleached by the sun. So what is Samuel talking about? What is God talking about? Don't look at someone's appearance. David didn't present himself in a bad way. David was just young. David was just working hard out in the sun. David was doing those things. And God said, don't judge him based on the way that he looks. I'm sure he presented himself just well to be able to go into the king's court and be respected by everyone. But God sees the heart. So what is it that we are going to make judgments on? Don't make judgments on superficial things. As a matter of fact, it is foolish to jump to conclusions. One of the books of the Bible that speaks about wisdom and the right way to treat things is the book of Proverbs. I hope you read Proverbs often. But Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 13 says this, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. As Christians, if we are going to judge, we cannot be superficial judgers. We cannot judge based on appearances. We cannot judge before all the facts come in. You know who's guilty of doing this right now? The United States of America. Judging before the facts come in. We've done it more often than not when it comes to all of these news stories. They're breaking news. Oh, look, it's dramatic. Let's jump on that one. Let's get everyone riled up on that one. No, let's be Christians that judge properly based not on superficiality or on appearances, but based on decisions. The difference between superficial judgment and righteous judgment is judging based on decisions that people have made. Decisions are what God tells us to judge on. Remember Simon the Pharisee? He passed judgment on a woman. And listen, he passed judgment on her based on her reputation. Based on her reputation. But he could not see something. He couldn't see the woman's heart. He couldn't see that she had been forgiven. Jesus knew what was going on, and Jesus rebuked him in Luke chapter 7 for his unrighteous judgment. You know, sometimes we do superficial judgment on that level. We'll judge someone because of what they used to do, decisions that they used to make, past decisions. And that shouldn't be the case. If anybody should understand forgiveness and that people can change, it should be a Christian. We should understand forgiveness. We should understand that people can change. And we should understand that a past decision, a bad past decision, doesn't mean you're going to make future bad decisions. You can have a point where you turn to Christ and in humility say, God, help me, and make good decisions from this point forward in the future. I encourage you, Christian, especially those of you that got saved later in life, don't let bad past decisions affect your ability to make good future decisions. And as Christians, let's not be judgmental in a superficial way where we would allow someone's bad past decisions to affect how we treat them when they are actively trying, by their own profession, their own statement, and our own view, actively trying to make good decisions in the future.
Amen.
That's the Christian attitude. That's not superficial judgment. We're judging someone's decisions, not their consequence. Judging someone's decisions, not their past decisions. And we're judging someone's decisions, not the color of their skin all the way through. God's first command, if we're going to judge righteously, should Christians judge? My answer is yes. But you know, we shouldn't judge if we're going to judge superficially. Secondly, hypocritical judgment. Hypocritical judgment. There is a starting place for judgment. Did you know that? And if we are going to say we are going to be judges, let's turn to the passage that I read, Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. I believe what Jesus is talking about here, as we put this command in context, is not to judge, but he's telling us not to judge hypocritically. What does that mean, hypocritically? That Greek word there that translated in our English word hypocrite literally means to wear a mask. The actors would do this. They didn't have CGI like we have, okay? They didn't have the computer graphics that we have. And so if they were going to distort their face and make themselves look a certain way, they had to wear a mask. And it was known sometimes that mask would have an emotion on it, have a smiley face or have a frowny face. And it didn't matter what the person's actual emotions were, they were wearing the mask. And there was one way they were showing to others, and there was another way that they really felt. That's a hypocrite. A hypocrite is saying one thing, acting one way, when in their heart there's really something else going on. And God tells us, Jesus tells us here in Matthew chapter 7, he tells us there's a type of judgment that is done from a hypocritical attitude where we refuse to start at the proper starting place for judgment. Where does judgment start? Judgment starts with ourself. Judgment starts, for God, it starts with His house and His people. God is the ultimate example in these things, and for judgment for Him, it begins with us. One of the reasons I believe that the next thing on God's calendar is when He calls back all of His saints is I believe in the timeline of prophecy all the way through, God is going to judge His people us as Christians, before that great white throne judgment. I believe our judgment, our reward judgment, is going to take place during that rapture. God is going to judge this world, and He's going to judge the Jewish nation and do all kinds of things to bring them to repentance while He is judging us and rewarding us. And then the great white throne judgment is at the end of the millennium, the end of all these things. God's judgment for His people always comes first. God is our example when it comes to hypocritical judgment. He always judges Himself, His people, first. Look what He says in Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, there's different types of judgment, you see. And whatever one you use, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou, here's the illustration, why, he says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? What's the answer to the question? Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye and considerest not the beam in thine own eye? Why would someone do that? Because they're a hypocrite. Why would someone want to pick at a mote, literally a speck, a little splinter, when they have a telephone pole, a 2x4, a beam? This is almost to the point, if you really meditate on this for a little while, it's grotesque, okay? It's graphic. You have a beam in your eye. How exactly would that look? All right? It looked pretty gross. All right? You have a beam in your own eye. You're about to die. You're bleeding everywhere. Your head is sliced in half. And you're like, here, let me help you with this little splinter you have. Why would someone do that? Because they have not taken and heeded God's command when it comes to judgment. Don't judge hypocritically. The starting place for judgment is our own lives. The starting place for judgment for me is when I look in the mirror and I see myself. And so God's command to judge, we must understand, begins with us judging ourselves. Where do you stand? How's your life? How's your Christian life? How's your devotional life? How faithful of a witness are you? Where do you stand in holiness and purity? How much love do you have for the Lord? And is it growing? Where is your commitment level to your relationships in your life? First of all, with the Lord, with other Christians, with your church family. How do you stand in that regard? That's where judgment must come first. When we take a look at Scripture and we try to apply Scripture, you know what's really easy to do? Oh man, they need that. Like, I call that pitchfork Christianity, right? So you sit in the church service, and there's stuff coming, truth is coming at you. But instead of taking it and applying it, right? Yeah. Apply it to me. No, we take it and we say, they need that back over there, and they need that one over here, and this is get the truth over there. And we don't apply it to ourselves.
Right.
That's wrong judgment. That's unrighteous judgment. That's hypocritical judgment. We refuse first to apply it to ourselves.
Right.
Jesus is making a comparison here to hypocrites, right? And He follows this statement with a warning against hypocrisy. He asks the second question, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? Behold, a beam is in thine own eye. What he's saying is, why would you do that first of all? You'd do it because you're a hypocrite and you're proud and you don't think there's anything wrong with you and you haven't taken Jesus' commandment to judge your own self first. And then he says, and then why, or how would you say that to your brother? How good are you going to be? How helpful are you going to be to anyone else? In your family, in your life, at our church? How helpful are you going to be to anyone else unless you have judged yourself first? You won't be helpful. I would say nigh impossible. I would not trust someone with a beam in their eye to do anything except get some help, you know, get some medical treatment there. You don't trust someone with a beam in their eye to do surgery, to take the tweezers and start picking around in your own eye. Well, they've got a problem themselves. They need to get that worked out. The first question is why, the reason, the answer is hypocrisy and pride. And the second question, how, is impossible. How would it happen? It's not going to happen. See, when it comes to judgment, if we always want to look outward in our judgment, and God says the very first place He wants us to look when it comes to judgment is look at ourselves. This is the starting place for judgment. A superficial judgment that's unrighteous. It's a hypocritical judgment. It's unrighteous. We see ourselves. We like to condemn sin in others, but we hate to condemn sin in ourselves. Look with me at Romans chapter number 2. Apostle Paul, thank God for the book of Romans. So many things, so clear about salvation. How many of you, when someone led you to the Lord, when they showed you the logic of the gospel and tried to convince you of your need for a Savior, they took you through passages in the book of Romans?
Amen.
It was me. Someone took me through passages in the book of Romans. The Romans road, right? Romans chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things." We are sure the judgment of God is according to what? To truth. Against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Listen, judgment begins with us. And when we look and see the sin in someone else has sinned against us perhaps, or we've done something that's directly that we know, hey, that's against the teachings of the Scripture, the very first thing we must do is say, can that be a reminder to me? Do I have any type of that sin in my own life? That's where judgment begins. Look at that sin. Men, if you find out one of your friends has committed adultery, right? They've broken, if they're faithless to their wife. The first question you need to say, that's wrong based on what the Scripture teaches. You judge the decision to be wrong. And then before you go and approach him, you say, have I been faithful? Have my motives always been pure in my relationship? Have I been faithful with what I've seen? Jesus talked about having our hearts right, not lusting after other people and all these things. And we can use that and say, man, am I really right? I heard a story the other day about a pastor friend of mine. And one of the first things that I did, praise the Lord for this, I'm not bragging here, but when I heard what he had done, the bad decision that he had made, I said, am I doing anything in my life that's going to lead me down that path? Because I see what's going on there. I don't want that. I want to stay close to the Lord. I want the continued blessing of God. I don't want to do anything that's going to lead me down that path where I see is sinful. And I judge myself first. If I ever get the opportunity, maybe I will talk to him. Maybe I will try to help him. But the judgment must begin with ourselves. Otherwise, it's hypocritical judgment. That's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 2. That's what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7. Third, we're going to judge as God commands us to judge. Our judgment cannot be harsh or unforgiving judgment. Look with me at Titus. This overriding command, we were in Thessalonians, right? Thessalonians tells us to be patient toward all men in Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 14. And then Titus chapter 2, chapter 3 and verse number 2 says to speak evil of no man, but be no broad, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. It is the merciful who will be shown mercy. There is a link up here with the way we would like to be treated and the way that we should be treating others in judgment. Paul said this way, but by the grace of God, there go I. And that eliminates so much harsh judgment. If we don't first have this starting place where we're judging ourselves, that's where you get this brash, judgmental attitude. How dare you could have done that? But if the right attitude is this attitude where we're gentle and we're not harsh. And the reason why is because we know we have been forgiven of much ourselves. The same way that you judge others, Jesus says, the same measure which you judge others, it will be meet to you. Jesus says this in the Lord's Prayer when he's teaching his disciples to pray, right? And at the end, he talks about forgiveness. And he says, help us to forgive our debtors as you have forgiven us, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. He tells us that we should be forgiving. And then he goes on, and I believe it's in the passage in Luke, and says, you're going to be forgiven the same measure that you're forgiven. A lot of people look at that, they scratch their heads, they say, what in the world is Jesus talking about? He's saying, if you have really received forgiveness, one of the evidences that you are a Christian, that you have received forgiveness of God, is that you are a forgiving person. But it can be so harsh sometimes in judgment. I think sometimes when people say, don't judge me, what they're talking about is, don't judge me harshly. We look in the mirror, and we have long-suffering, and we have all kinds of patience for ourselves, but then we want God to like strike others with a lightning bolt when they do something wrong. I can attest and I can say to you, God's been merciful with me. He's been long-suffering with me. He's been forgiving with me. And the basis for judging something to be right or wrong is the principles in Scripture. And you know what God says? After He judges us to be wrong and in sin, what does God say? And God says, I'll forgive it. Do you understand? That's the beauty. The beauty of the gospel is not that God doesn't judge you to be a sinner. The beauty of the gospel is that after God judges you to be a sinner, He then offers forgiveness for that sin. And that is the basis of us as Christians, that we are to be forgiving. You see, if we really relinquish our ability to judge right and wrong, to discern right and wrong, what we're really relinquishing is our ability to be forgiving. If someone's decision cannot be judged as wrong, then we can never forgive the wrong that has been done. People never think about it that way, do they? We have a lack of forgiveness in this world, a lack of understanding about forgiveness in this world, and part of it is because we're never going to judge. Let me tell you, truth is not relative. There is a right and there is wrong. There are principles to live by in God's Word, and we can discern them as we should, and if we do, then we'll have that same attitude that we should have. I've done a lot of wrong in my life, and God has forgiven me. He didn't pretend that I didn't do anything wrong. No, I felt the full weight of the condemnation of the Holy Spirit of God, of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, that I knew I was on my way to hell, and then God stepped in and forgave me, and did it gently. This harsh and unforgiving judgment is wrong judgment. Because remember, the measure that you use, how does that even work? The measure that you use, God is going to make sure that you're judging in that same way. That's convicting to me. Is that not convicting to you? If I'm merciful with folks, maybe I'll be shown some mercy. You know who needs a lot of mercy? Me. You know who needs a lot of mercy? All of us. If we're going to judge, as God says, should we judge? Yes. Yes, I believe the case is maybe we should judge. But we shouldn't judge hypocritically. We shouldn't judge superficially. And we shouldn't judge with a harsh and unforgiving attitude. Fourthly, we shouldn't judge self-righteously. Look what James chapter 4 says. James chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Sometimes we get a very haughty spirit, don't we? God says, you draw nigh unto God, verse 8, He will draw nigh unto you. Then say you're not in need of cleansing. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. See, this dichotomy here, this back and forth, this contrast that God gives us of someone who is humble and someone who is proud. Someone who is self-righteous and judging in the wrong way, and someone who in humility. I don't want God opposing me. God resisteth. God opposes. He's on the other side. He's against the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. Do you remember when Jesus told the parable in Luke chapter 18? The parable about the Pharisee and the publican. Remember those two? Go ahead and look there. Luke chapter 18. I told you we'd be in a lot of scripture passages today. Luke chapter 18. Verse number 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised the others. two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. By the way, that publican is a traitor to his own nation, stealing tax money for the Roman government from his own people. Many times they did it in a very, very dishonest way. They were more hated than anyone else at this time, during Jesus' time in Jerusalem, these publicans. Hated people. Very dishonest. They put it this way, they made a lot of bad decisions in their past. If you're known as a publican, it's because you made a lot of bad past decisions. If you're known as a Pharisee, it's because you are living by the letter of the law. We could even say they were making good decisions in some cases. They were trying their very best to be obedient to the law. But they thought that their obedience to the law made them right with God. That's the problem. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I love the words of Scripture. He's not praying to God. He's praying with himself. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He points him out right there. I fast twice in the week, give tithes of all that I possess. He's boasting on himself. He's making judgment of others. And he's from this very, very proud position. God gives judgment at the end, but look what the publican said. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. That's humility. He smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's a very humble thing to say, isn't it? I tell you, this is God through Christ, right? He's judging now. You understand? He's judging. What does he say? I judge, right? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The judgment of the world might be one thing, but the judgment of God, those that are proud in their judgment will receive God's condemnation. God sees the heart. And he refused to give forgiveness to this Pharisee. He judged not to give him forgiveness. You know why? Because he was not humble. He never admitted that he had done anything wrong. He was just thanking God. God, thank you for all the wonderful, the great man that I am, all the wonderful things I've done right. Instead of saying, you know what, God, if it wasn't for your grace, I'd be worse than that publican. He says, God, I thank you. I'm not like that guy. No, I'd be worse than that publican. And that kind of a attitude, when we judge ourselves first, we judge ourselves in a humble way. That helps us as we make right judgment. Matter of fact, without the clarity that humility provides, pride will cloud every judgment we make. And when we judge self-righteously, we judge out of pride. We're judging through a thick cloud that we cannot see clearly. Humility provides clarity. When Peter asked Jesus a question about forgiveness, Jesus gave such a great answer, didn't he? Peter asked Jesus, he says, how many times should we forgive? And Jesus starts asking him questions. Seven? That was actually if you look at Jewish tradition, when Peter said, should it be seven times, that was actually a really good number. Because I think even amongst a marriage relationship, Jewish tradition said you only had to forgive like three or four times, and then you didn't have to anymore. So saying seven, you know, Peter was like going above and beyond. Jesus said 70 times seven. And he says, who is going to be more grateful? Someone that has been forgiven of a lot, or someone that's been forgiven of a little? Well, you know what? There's some people that have been forgiven of a lot, but in their evaluation, it's just a little. You understand? There are some people that, you know what? They've lived actually pretty clean lives, but you know what? They use a very humble evaluation, and they know their sinful hearts and the wickedness of their heart, and they know what they would be apart from God. And when they look at their sin, they see how great it is, because it's against a great and holy, pure God. Our sin is great. Because it is a sin against an eternally pure, eternally holy God. And when you evaluate your sin in that way, you realize how greatly you've been forgiven, then you are able to be forgiving towards others. Very lastly here, We had superficial judgment is wrong judgment. Hypocritical judgment is wrong judgment. A harsh and unforgiving judgment is wrong judgment. Prideful judgment is wrong judgment. And less untrue judgment is wrong judgment. The Bible clearly forbids false witnesses. Back to the book of Proverbs, right? Proverbs chapter 19. God tells us, verse number 5, a false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall not escape. If your judgment is based on a lie, it's wrong judgment. Just untrue judgment. You know, we tell ourselves lies sometimes. We don't want to believe certain things that are true sometimes. But lying judgment, untrue judgment is wrong judgment. One of the qualifications that listed in that list where it talks about being gentle, it also says that we should not be a gossip. When you are trying to judge a right and wrong of a decision of yourself starting and then perhaps of someone else, make sure you get the truth about it. You know what the worst thing is? Worst thing is gossip. When you believe an untruth about someone and you don't do as Scripture tells us, and your information about someone, your judgment of someone should be because of what you've seen them do firsthand. Or what's proven, right? What's proven to be true. We allow someone lies to cloud our judgment. We do not do righteous judgment. Christians are often accused of judging or accused of intolerance when we speak out against sin. But let me tell you, Christian, opposing sin is not wrong. Holding aloft a high standard of righteousness, which naturally also defines unrighteousness and draws a line of what is right and what is wrong according to the Scriptures. You know what it does? The air, the arrows, the hate sometimes of those who choose sin over godliness will then be focused on you. That's what happened to John the Baptist. Why was it that Herod and Herodias hated him so much? Because John the Baptist spoke out against the sin of adultery. And they, Herod and Herodias, were involved in it. You know what she did? She eventually silenced John, didn't she? She said, I want his head on a platter. Why? Does that make what he was saying go away? Does that make right or wrong go away? No. But this is always the human condition. And you will find, as you live your life, if you try to apply biblical principles and judge righteous judgment, if you think hearing the sermon today is going to make people stop accusing you of judging and being judgmental, then you're sorely mistaken. It's going to continue to happen. You're going to continue to say, but Pastor, I applied all five principles you taught this morning, and I am judging righteously now. I judge myself first, and I judge so gently now, and I realize. And no, it's still going to happen, because anyone who takes a stand and says, you know what the Bible says is right is right, and what the Bible says is wrong, we're going to get the hatred of those who choose to do what is wrong. Let me encourage you with this. Go ahead and bear that mark. Go ahead and bear it for the cause of Christ and go forward with it. Because remember, who they really hate, they don't really hate you. What they really hate is the truth. Mm-hmm. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why. And Jesus, He is the light of the world. And you have Christ. Let Him shine His light in your heart. Mm-hmm. Believers are warned against judging unfairly, unrighteously, untruthfully. But Jesus commands us to judge righteous judgment. We are commanded in Colossians chapter 1 to be discerning. In Thessalonians, to be discerning. We preach, praise God, the whole counsel of God, which includes teaching on sin and what is right and what is wrong. And we gently confront erring brothers and sisters. What Galatians says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to be gentle, considering ourselves. We are to practice church discipline. What does that mean? That means as a member, if you're going to be a member of the church, there's a covenant together. We say we're promising something to each other. I'm promising that I'm going to try to live the Christian life with my church family. I'm promising that I will. We're all promising that together. That's to covenant together is a wonderful thing. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, I think this is one of the most important things. We are to speak the truth in love. Not just speak the truth and not just show love, but we are to speak the truth in love. It's not one or the other. Remember, Jesus Christ Himself was full of grace and truth. Not just full of truth, not just full of grace. He was full of grace and truth. There really is no grace. There really is no forgiveness. There really is none of those things unless there is truth and there is right and there is wrong. And then we can, yes, we can be forgiven. We have a great God today, don't we? And you know what? I think some of you, if you're honest, during the invitation time, you need to ask the Lord forgiveness. Say, I've been judging in the wrong way. I've been judging hypocritically. I've been judging, I started in the wrong place. I haven't been judging myself. I've been judging superficially. You know, what to God that we could eradicate superficial judgment and prejudice and the things our country is struggling from, and you know where it would be eradicated from? Let's start right here. We say, I'm not going to judge that way. Amen. God, forgive me if I ever have. Help me never to judge superficially. Help me never to judge until I have all the facts in. Help me never to judge from a place of pride, clouded by my pride where I cannot see. But Lord, I've judged out of pride. Help me to be humble in my judgment. I think all of us have a lot to speak to God about, a lot to meditate about, a lot to think upon when it comes to judging in this way. Now let me tell you, someone's going to come up to you one time when you've said, you know what, that's the wrong thing. That decision, not the consequence, not the wrong way, that decision is a wrong decision. And they're going to say, don't judge me. And you can know the Scripture commands you, the Scripture commands you to judge, but if you do so in the right way, you can let them know, I'm not putting you down. I don't think less of you. I think that decision is a wrong decision. Remember, there's no such thing as good people. There's people making good decisions, people making bad decisions. And we don't judge the person, we judge the decision, we judge the fruit. Not by their past, but the decision they're making even right now. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to be judging in the right way. Help us to speak the truth in love. Lord, I pray that in these very services, this very time of invitation, when we sing, Lord, I pray that many would sing. And Lord, as we pray, I pray that many would pray. And dear God, I pray that we would get thoroughly right with You at this time. That we would judge ourselves first. I pray many, perhaps in their lives, whether it's their children, their siblings, people that they live with, work with, or they have done wrong things. And we've seen those wrong things. And dear God, I pray You'd help us to be, that we would, our judgment of ourselves would be triggered by the sin we see in others' lives. We would begin first with ourselves, and we would allow, Lord, You to forgive and You to cleanse, You to do what You want to do in our own hearts and lives. Lord, please help us to see these things. I have a question for you this morning. You're here, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. In other words, you're going to be praying during this invitation time. Well, we're saying you're going to be praying. We're going to all be praying together, but you're going to be praying about something specific. The Lord has said to you, I've judged unrighteously, and the Lord's convicted me of it.